You're tuned into 8:30 a.m. KSTP, and we are live with what will probably be our final election interview of the season. It's been a big one, and we have William Weatherby running for the House District 37 spot on the Republican ticket, and he's here in the studio today to talk to us a little bit about what he would like you to know about him and why he's running for the House of Representatives. William, thanks so much for coming in today.
Well, thank you for hosting me.
So many topics to cover, so little time, but I think that there's one that's probably near and dear to your heart, and we'd love to cover it, the permanent fund dividend. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the PFD.
Yeah, that is a pretty hot topic. It's one thing that sets me and my opponent quite widely apart. I believe that the dividend is the people's money. Actually, the entire permanent fund is the people's money, and the dividend is what they get every year, and the state should not tamper with it. They shouldn't mess with the calculation. They shouldn't keep back part of it, because the reality is it comes from the Permanent Fund Corporation. The Permanent Fund Corporation gives the money for the state to pay out. So it's not like the state is paying out of other resources to afford the PFD. It's comes from the corporation, it's the people's money. The corporation also puts money into the earnings reserve account for the state to use. So they can use that money. They don't need to use ours also.
So some people feel that the permanent fund was designed for use with paying out a dividend and also covering essential services. And there was a Supreme Court case a couple years ago that kind of touched on the topic. What do you feel about those developments?
There is money for the state to use, and they can use it for essential services. And that earnings reserve account is up to $18.8 billion. And the state gets to use some of that money for essential services. They still should, though, pay out a full PFD.
So the budget reserve account, I've heard several politicians talk about this. What exactly is it? What do you see the function of it is?
The earnings reserve account?
Yes, the earnings reserve account.
Yeah. Well, so far the state hasn't had to spend their portion of what's put into it. So for years it's been building up, which is nice. It's like having an extra savings account. And that savings account has had a lot of money put into it. And not a lot of money spent out, except for that they pay out the PFD every year from that. And I believe they do inflation proofing from that.
So there's this money, the earnings reserve account, and it's got about $18 billion, you were saying, in it today, used for inflation proofing to pay out the dividends, and it's been accruing for a while. Now, what about someone who came to you and said that the permanent fund, it was a constituent that said the permanent fund should be used to help pay for essential services? Would you think that there's a method for accessing those funds for essential services, or do you think that the dividend should stay a dividend for the people?
Well, the earnings reserve account should be accessed for essential services with a simple majority, but to hold back money from the dividend to keep it in the account in case in the future we need to use it for essential services, that should be put to a vote. Because if you believe it's the people's money and they have the right to do with it as they please, then they have the right to vote also. So if that was the case and people around the state were being generous and they said, yes, I'll give up my dividend to pay for essential services, if they're making the decision for everyone, then there should be a vote on it. If they just want to give their bit, then there should be a pick-click give for that.
So, as you were talking about with the idea of inflation proofing, if the money for the earnings reserve was used, would you be concerned that perhaps we're going to, say there's a downturn in the stock market or something happened, that we would be endangering the permanent fund by using the permanent fund?
By using the earnings reserve? No, because the corpus of the account is invested and it is diversified. It's multinational. It's performing well. I don't think we have to worry about that outside of, you know, the typical amount of fear that the stock market can take a crash. But it has in the past gone down, but it's always come back up. It's always trending up. 2 years ago when I was talking about this, it was at 40 billion, and now it's at 65 billion. So it's healthy and it's fine.
Now, the permanent fund is one form of money that can go towards the government to pay for expenses that people have talked about. Another form would be taxes. People are in favor of no taxes, some taxes. How do you feel about a tax? Would you see it as a viable means of bringing money in to pay for essential services if the permanent fund was not used? And if so, what would be a tax that you would like to see?
I would never say I would like to see a tax. If the state decides that it just doesn't have enough money to cover all of its expenses, and we just cannot find any other form of revenue, and we have to have a tax, I think that should be voted on by the people also. But I don't want there to be a tax. I really don't. I understand how workers from out of state come in, they make some good money in places, and they leave with pretty much all that money. Permits, commercial fishing permits, are owned by people from out of state. So I wouldn't mind looking at a way to get them to pay their fair share, possibly in a work permit. You know, we have hunting available to us for subsistence. We have hunting available to us, you know, for sport. And then we have out-of-state hunting, and the fee to hunt here in Alaska, if you're out-of-state, is a lot higher than if you're a resident. So maybe the fee to commercial fish here, if you're out-of-state, should be higher than if you're a resident. And it would give them a good reason to stay and spend their money here. Or it might encourage more locals to have permits.
What now, we're talking about things coming into the government to pay for services. There's the other side of the coin, which is, of course, expenses accrued by the government. If you look at the expenses that go out from the state of Alaska, it's really education and then health and human services, health and social services. Everything else is really a drop in the bucket, more or less.
Yeah.
These are the two things that really eat at the majority of the budget. How do you feel the state's doing in expenses? Do you see there being room for, you know, cutting back expenses? What would be the avenue that you would like to see there?
Well, I don't want to see us cutting services. But if we can save money and get the same services at a better price, I think we should look into that. I've talked with a lot of people in the education department, mostly teachers and people in local school districts, and they do recognize that there's a lot of waste. And there was someone I was talking to who said she could not handle it anymore and she had to quit because the waste she saw was disgusting her and she didn't want to be a part of this anymore. I think we ought to have a system where if you see a way to save money, that you could bring that up, that you could write it down, you could send it in, and it would be looked at. Not just by your supervisor or someone above you, but to the education board. Not a whistleblower program, I don't mean. Although there's nothing wrong with, if you see something wrong, saying something about it. But just a way to help us save money.
There's a lot of other issues besides the economy, though. I think the economic factor is what drives so many people at the ballot box. But we've got criminal issues, there's drug issues, and also there's, in this region in particular, commercial fishing is a huge driving force. So lots of questions about Department of Fish and Game, the Board of Fish, and then Proposition 1. What is your position with Proposition 1?
Proposition 1, I've been reading through it in the voter's pamphlet. There's a lot of pages, a lot of stuff to read. And some of the stuff I see in there, it sounds like common sense. And if they need that rule, I'm kind of surprised that that rule already isn't in place. Like discharging water in, you know, from a plant or a facility, it needs to be the right quality of water. It needs to be the right temperature. Well, I completely agree with that. That seems like a no-brainer. I imagine it is in law, but I don't know for sure. But the fact that people had to, on their own, come up with a proposition, had to try to write a new law for the state of Alaska, tells me that there isn't a strong enough law on the books already. And my opponent talks about how experienced he is and how much he's done for the district. And if this law is so important, why hasn't he already proposed it? Why hasn't it been written into law a long time ago?
What would you like to see for the Department of Fish and Game? There's such a tension between sports fishing and subsistence and commercial. And with the upcoming governor's race, there's going to be a change potentially with the Department of Fish and Game. Now, it's been a commercial fisherman experience background for the last 4 years with Sam Cotton. Who would you like to see as the head of the Department of Fish and Game? And is there an ethics behind how it's operated that you see as important to make sure that this is a fairly accessed resource for all the different gear types and all the different needs, sports, subsistence, and commercial?
Yeah. Subsistence, I think, should be considered number one. The fact that they had to cut some subsistence fishing in some places, that's pretty bad. That seems like a mismanagement of the fisheries. When you have to cut off subsistence and say, no, you can't catch food for the winter. You've been doing it for hundreds of years, but this year, no, sorry. Don't catch any salmon to eat. Commercial fishing would be second, and sport fishing would be third. So a person who would head this all up, it would be great if they had experience in all three of those. Most importantly, that they have strong concern for subsistence fishing, and a background in commercial fishing would really, really help them. I don't know who that person is. All I hope is that whoever our governor is, they choose wisely, and the Board of Fish is a bit of a political group, while the Department of Fish and Game should just be scientific. They need to stick to science, good science, accurate science. I saw a high school science project that showed how inaccurate the count was that Fish and Game did. And I didn't hear Fish and Game side of it, so maybe that's not true. But basically, they watched footage of fish crossing a point, and instead of just counting a 10-minute block, they counted every minute and numbered the minutes, how many fish were in that minute, and then checked out, you know, what the prediction ended up being versus what the reality was. And there seemed to be a pretty large discrepancy. So I'd like to see some top-notch science going into it. Less guesswork, more accuracy.
Well, we're getting very close to election. It is November the 6th. 2018 for elections coming up here in just a day. So, William, is there anything you'd like to say to the people in the Aleutians Eastboro going into the ballot box, your final thoughts and message?
Yeah, I got a lot. I don't know if we have time for this. I have listened to a couple past broadcasts here of what my opponent has said, and I'd like to talk about some of that. The PFD is a big topic. And some people are tired of hearing about it, and but other people are just tired of it being taken from them. And it has been reduced for 3 years in a row. And I heard Bryce say that there was good news. The good news is that the PFD is $500 more than it was 2 years ago. I think that's pretty deceptive, because the reality is that they voted to cut about $1,400 off of it. A full PFD would have been about $3,000. And Bryce says he tried to get a full PFD. Well, if he tried to get a full PFD and didn't, then that means he failed at that. And getting a $1,600 PFD instead of getting almost a $3,000 PFD is a bit of a failure. And he said the votes weren't there. And the votes were there to pass what they at the time considered a full PFD. It passed 21 to 19. The votes were there in the House. But Bryce says that the votes weren't there in the Senate, or he says that they didn't have enough votes to pass the budget. But Bryce talks about politics being about relationships. So maybe it was his relationship with someone that made him reverse that decision when they rescinded the action. Bryce claims that there is a dichotomy of you either get services or you get a full PFD. And I believe that's a false dichotomy. It's you can have services and a full PFD. The money saved back from the PFDs did not go to services. He also says that I have promised a full PFD. I can't promise what legislature does. I can promise what I'll do. And I don't really like political promises, but I have promised to vote for a full PFD, and I promised to vote to pay back the back pay, the PFDs that were taken. And he says that I'm going to try to do this all on my own, and it's not all on my own. Remember, a full PFD passed 21-19, so there's plenty of people that want a full PFD. Plenty of legislators listen to the people they represent and want a full PFD. Bryce says we can have a $1,600 PFD now and, you know, $1,600 PFDs in the future. But he's afraid that if we get full PFDs now, then we'll get zero PFDs later. Well, if he honestly thought that, then why was he trying to get a full PFD? You know, that it doesn't make sense for him to defend why we have a $1,600 PFD at the same time say that he tried to get a full PFD. The truth is that Permanent Fund Corporation is going to continue to put money every single year into a fund to pay out a full PFD. It's not going to turn to zero because the next year they're going to pay out whatever the calculation, which is based on the performance of the past 5 years, are. Bryce talks about the budget and how I would want to be part of a group that would want large reductions versus strategic cuts, and I don't want large reductions. I want strategic cuts just as much as anyone does. And I want someone who's very familiar with each department to make those cuts. And I don't want legislators to just hack off a giant chunk of funding and then watch the departments squirm on how they're going to spend it. So I didn't appreciate him making it look like as if I would want large cuts to departments. He says I'm new to the state. Well, my parents were born, or my parents lived in Kodiak Island before I was born. I was born in Oregon, though, but I made it back up here. He says I'm new to politics, and I am. But in Alaska, we're supposed to have a citizen legislature, people from all walks of life. Bryce seems to think that what we should have is career politicians. Politicians who grew up in the political process and spent many, many years at it and finally became legislators. And I think we need people who work in all different industries in our legislature. He talked about honesty and how people from the district want him to be truthful and honest. And I heard him say he's been to King Cove, Unalaska, and the Chignecks. Well, I was in the Chignecks. I spent a night in each one of those villages. And I'll tell you what, people did not see him. He may have stopped in to Chignik Lagoon, got a little photo op on the runway, but he did not go knocking door to door. He didn't go knocking door to door in the Chignecks. King Cove, he was there for it was a ceremony for their hydroelectric thing, but he didn't go knocking on doors, talking with people, and I think people are kind of fed up with that. They want a representative who will come out and meet them. Senate Bill 91, he talked about that a little bit, and he said he's a firm believer that if you do the crime, you do the time. Well, why would he vote for Senate Bill 91 if he believed that you should do the time if you do the crime? That didn't make much sense to me. When you listen to him talk, he talks about everything happens to be his number one goal or his top priority or top of my list, and not everything can be your number one goal. Not everything can be your top priority or top of your list, because if they're all at the top, then that means that they're all at the same level. There's just saying that it's your top priority doesn't actually make it your top priority. He's talked about the PFD being, he'd be a strong supporter of it. Well, I'm not seeing that. He says he's looking forward to seeing everyone, and he didn't come out here, so maybe he's disappointed. But I think we're going long on this interview, aren't we? Yeah. Well, I'll just leave it at that. I got so much to say, and I'm tired. I'm worn out. I've been traveling a lot and not getting good night's sleeps. And part of me, I just want this to be over because then I'll be able to relax. But part of me, in reality, I want another month of this. I want to reach more villages and talk with more people because everywhere I go, people are very kind to me. Everywhere I go, they understand, and I understand them. We have good conversations. So I'm here in Sand Point. I haven't booked a trip out yet, so I'll be talking with people this evening, talking with people tomorrow. I'll talk with people even after the election. Even if I lose, I'll talk with anybody.
We appreciate you coming in here and giving us your time, William. And William Weatherby, running for the House District 37, go out and vote the 6th of November. Come down to City Hall and put your ballot in from, I believe, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's so important to get your voice heard and make sure that you are represented in Juneau. Again, tomorrow is Election Day, so come on down and have your voice heard. William Weatherby, running for District 37 of Alaska.